Ivor's got the dad jokes. Guy in the tub will teach you how to survive. Dor thinks Microsoft is awesome, and Mark's still wrong. All that and more on this week's Android App Addicts. Hey everybody, and welcome to Android App Addicts, episode 543. This is the show where we talk about Android apps, Android hardware, watches, game stuff, whatever. We talk about whatever. It'd be a lot easier if I just said that from now on. This is the show where we talk about whatever. My name is Mark, on very rare occasions known as the Sultan of the Soapbox. And joining me this week is door-to-door geek Mr. Steve McLaughlin, the guy you're all here to hear, and a couple other guys, and I'm just going to make them introduce themselves. Awkward silence.
Josh, Crickets. You go first.
Hi, my name is Josh Dennis, and I'm unprepared, so I'm looking forward to this, and let's talk about stuff.
And my name is
Ivor.
It's not Igor, it's Ivor, although I'll probably be called Igor from now on. That's all right. Ivor Davies from New Zealand, all the way from the other side of the world. And I'm really looking forward to being here talking about Android stuff and apps with two of my favorite people in America.
And I'm here too. Yeah.
Hey, Mark. Here's the thing I like. Both of these guys, neither one are in the U.S. They're both very opinionated, is what I'm going to say, about Android stuff because they have experience with it. Exactly. And I'll say my day has not been good. I put on my Rodney Dangerfield tie, aka my red tie, because I get no respect. My wife comes downstairs and asks why I have on a Donald Trump tie. I immediately, not good. We get in the car, we get about 4 minutes from the house, we hit a pothole so big that literally I could fit inside of it. Immediate flat tire, pull over in my work clothes, not proper attire, pull out the jack, pull out the donut, jack up the car, start changing the tire, car falls off the jack. She immediately panics. Friendly neighborhood, long bearded fellow pulls over, pulls out a real jack out of the back of his minivan, AKA a real man's vehicle, puts it under the car, changes the tire literally in 35 seconds, puts on the donut. We start the car. We go in out into the road. The car won't go straight. We pull back off the road. We have to call up a tow truck. So then we have to wait there for like another 45 minutes for the tow truck. And I'm physically sore because I'm not supposed to do this kind of stuff. And on a keto diet, you're supposed to have a lot of salt. I got to work. My salt shaker was empty. So I'm sore from doing stuff I'm not supposed to do. I'm sore from my lack of sodium for the day. And I just want to take a nap and not go to work tomorrow, but I got to go to work tomorrow.
I'm just trying to imagine Dor wearing a tie.
How you doing? Well, I like catching people off guard at work and make them think I'm professional. So how are you doing, Mark?
I'm all right. I got nothing to top that, honestly. Although I do have a quick story. When I was in college, I lived in a rural area, as I have most of my life. I was in a band, and we were playing a gig out in the middle of nowhere, as most of our gigs were. And there was this long stretch of road, and there was the pothole. Anybody who took this road, you knew the pothole. It was exactly the right size to pop a tire. And I was, as I was driving back with the van with all the equipment in it, the borrowed van, I might add, at 2 o'clock in the morning, the last thing my bandmate said to me before I got in the van was, "Don't hit the pothole." Guess what I did half an hour later? At 3 o'clock in the morning, I think on a Sunday it was. And I hit the pothole, and there was no spare because we took it out to make room for all the equipment in the van. So, stupid things you do when you're in college. There's my story. That's all I got.
Sounds like normal behavior to me.
This show would be better with a laugh track. I'm going to get one of those.
I tell you one thing, Mark. I'm just extremely happy that there wasn't social media when I was university age. Because, running into a pothole unintentionally, that sucks. But, the stuff we did intentionally, I'm not sure statute of limitations. So,
we're all of the age that we did our stupid stuff before it was recorded forever. So, it's a good thing.
It's still burned indelibly in people's minds.
The ones that survived.
So, Dora, why are these two strange non-Americans with us tonight?
Well, I mean, you kind of put out the call that, you know, you would like to do a show, or you were expecting to not do a show with just two people. I figured the more the merrier, because quite honestly, some weeks you can't be here, some weeks I can't be here, some weeks Ivor won't be able to be here, some weeks Josh won't be able to be here. So I'm perfectly okay with having, you know, more people on than less on this show. And because, to be quite honest, mobile phones is a very personal thing. Me and you all can only encapsulate, you know, our own personal experiences. We all have different phones. We all have different feelings. We all have different experiences. We all have different mobile carriers. So, you know, more experiences for this kind of thing, I think, is only better.
And because they're interesting, intelligent people who you thought would bring something special to the show that nobody else could bring, right?
Oh, yeah. Sure, yeah.
Right, good. Just making sure. You weren't just taking any random guy.
Of course not.
I guess it's like door fooling them with a tie, I guess.
Yeah. And I'll say this, this was a weird, I'll say this, week in Android related stuff. I'll say, if you guys don't do the Google local guide type service, imagine Google Opinion Rewards, but you don't get paid for it. But here's the gimmick. You actually can get paid for it. You just get paid in gifts, not in actual money. Basically, you open up your Google Maps and you can tribute. Basically, places you've been at, it will ask you, does it have handicap parking? Does it have a public restroom? Which picture best describes the place? Things like that. I got this email earlier this week. Over at Android Police, they report if you are level 6 local guide or higher, you can be in a beta for the Google Maps features before they go public. So I did put my name on the list. I am level like 10 now, I believe. So I'm going to have, you know, in like air quotes, early access to the future Google Maps features, aka I'm a glorified beta tester.
You're level 10 at what, Dora? That's Stardew Valley.
I've been level 10 at that.
I'm a level 2 Google reviewer. They say I routinely when I go by a place, like if I'm stuck in traffic outside of a restaurant, they'll ask me, "How was this restaurant? Your reviews are very important. Over 100 people have read your reviews." So, you know, I'm a centurion apparently.
Yeah, we get it here too in New Zealand. With lots of locations and particularly restaurants asking questions like, was the service any good? And in New Zealand, it's a bit different. We don't have waiter to table service usually. So it's usually just you tell the guy what you want at the front counter and he brings your meal up later on. So there's a lot of questions that really don't apply to what your experience is in a different country. So
in Canada, well, at least for me, I'm on Vancouver Island in British Columbia, and I seem to get the same 5 questions over and over. And it's just, what profession are you in? Are you, or what's the income of your house? Do you have children? Blah, blah, blah. And it's just to say, hey, 10 cents, 10 cents, 10 cents, 10 cents. And it's the same question.
Oh, I totally forgot, by the way. Sorry. Let me get this out of the way. Not out of the way. Give it the spot of honor it deserves. This show tonight is brought to you by our Patreon sponsor, Theo, from thetaphoto.co.uk. Thank you, Theo, for standing up and being counted in a tangible way. This show is for you, buddy.
Thank you, Mark. Yeah, and I'll say this. The number one way to see activity as a Google local guide is literally just Google search a restaurant, a movie theater, a amusement park, a business, anything in any type of mobile browser of Google Chrome or in the Google Now assistant type interface, and then just leave the results sitting up for a couple seconds and a little gray bar will pop across the bottom and say, do you know this place? If you click yes, you're then enrolled to answer questions about that place when they become available. That's a way so you can get more and more questions. They have offered me on more than one occasions free gift cards for places and services that I will never go into. So I basically just ignore it when they offer me gift cards. But I'm level 7 right now. I've gotten at least 3 or 4 gift cards offers in the last year is what I'll say. But when I look at them, there's like, I'm not going into Ulta Beauty anytime soon. So I'm going to decline this gift card.
Can you send me that? That'd be great. I have
a
wife and 3 daughters. I got one the other day. It asked me about my church. Said, do you know this place? Well, yes, I spend a good deal of my time there. I do know that. And asked me questions like, is there an ATM there? That's a slightly odd question about a church, but no, there isn't. Is there parking here? Yes. Is there handicap accessible? Yes. Is this a good place to get tires rotated? What? No. No, it's not.
Yeah. I will say, sometimes I think they put those questions in just to see if you're paying attention. At least that's what I want to believe. In reality, it's just incompetence, yeah. I believe, you know? At least that's what I think. 2 more quick links I just wanted to just comment on as points of future possible interest. The first one, Samsung Galaxy Fold. Review units went out 3 days later, kaboom, bang, bring them all back. And then people, especially journalists, were actively complaining that Samsung was asking for iFixit to take down the teardown of the Samsung Galaxy Fold. I will say I was perfectly okay with them taking down the teardown if they changed their mind and never intended the phone to be released, which it's starting to look like might be the case. Here's a leaked render, aka leaked render of what is the Galaxy Fold 2, which to me looks better than the first one, partially because it's following the Motorola type top-down fold instead of sideways fold. It's still a sandwich fold with the screen on the inside, which I think is incredibly stupid, and it's going to make the phone much less reliable. But that's what it looks like. They're already planning their second version of a phone that nobody except for a few got to touch the first version of.
Yeah, I can understand them wanting to take the video down if there was any proprietary or business, patents or anything like that they didn't want getting out into the public. But it's also interesting from a technical point of view about how these phones are actually made. I can imagine that people would be interested in having a look at the different components that go into them and how they fit together. The geeks out there might be kind of interested in that sort of thing. And to take it down is really not doing them very much good.
Well, nobody ever complains when somebody goes and buys a phone and then does a teardown.
Exactly.
But when the company sends you a phone that is a pre-release model, that's a little premature because what you're tearing down is a thing that's not even, the thing. And A, you didn't pay for that thing. It was sent to you. I'm okay with that, with them saying, hey, this is still our property on loan to you. You go buy one and tear down all you want. So I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'll definitely agree because it's actually in their best interest for it to be posted, because if it's posted, then they can say in a court of law, you copied our fold and you saw it over here.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
yeah.
It's really so it's one of those things. It's in a weird way, it's good for them that it's out there, even if it was an incompetent design and procedure and layout and structure.
But maybe Microsoft will do it better, right, Dor?
Dude, here's the thing. I don't know if you guys remember. Do you remember the Microsoft Passport?
No.
It was rumored and leaks 7 years ago, at least, where it was a foldable computer, where on one side it was a color touch screen and on the other side was an e-ink screen. And it was supposedly both of them touch screen, and the e-ink was more for note taking. And then the color screen was for, computer related stuff. And that thing never came out. And when I remember seeing that, I said, when they come out with a foldable device or a true portable computer again, it's going to be an Android device because it has.
Yes, and I said back in January on this show that Microsoft would get back into the mobile phone game this year sometime. And with the Centaurus, is it that they're calling it?
That is how I heard it pronounced.
I hope
yes.
That's just a test name because it's terrible.
Yes. Yes. And I'll say this, to me, Microsoft is doing the Fold correctly. They have a foldable device. Now, here's the thing. It's supposedly not running Android, but it can run Android apps, whatever take that for whatever you want to.
Didn't Sun sue Google for doing that very thing? Your OS that isn't our OS but can run our apps? Yep.
Yes, and because they use their API structure, which you can't patent an API structure, but I digress. This is another foldable device where the screen is on the outside of the fold, which some people say is the worst idea ever because it'll be easier to scratch, blah, 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 blah. But when it comes to the actual functionality of the fold and durability of the fold, it's much easier to have it on the outside just because there's less opportunity for creases or bends or anything like that. So we'll see if this thing actually comes to fruition. I will say this. I do believe that the very next mobile device that Microsoft comes out with will unfortunately be pretty successful compared to old devices.
Well, that's a very low bar.
I know, because their Microsoft Kin was on market for, what, 35 days?
Or something. It's like saying there will be slightly less rain than in the Sahara Desert, or slightly more rain. It's a pretty low bar.
Yeah, but I hate to say it, I think they're going to be able to integrate Active Directory correctly. They're going to be able to integrate mobile device management correctly. I think they're going to be able to do that kind of thing in a mobile device that make executives giddy, and I think it actually has a good opportunity to sell moderate numbers. Because here's the real thing. Microsoft, as far as I know, don't actually make anything. They sub it all out to third parties. The only difference is the third party's not on the actual product name. They don't own any
factory. What about the Surface hardware? Do
they so the real that? Question, it's all subbed out to Taiwanese companies.
Well, so is Apple stuff. I mean, that's the world we live in today.
Yeah. I mean, there are certain core companies that do things, but Microsoft isn't one of them. You know what I mean? Lenovo is, HP is, Dell is. They actually own some amount of factories where they actually put stuff together. So I'm going to be interested to be who is going to be the manufacturer of this device, because I think that's going to be awfully telling. And I'll say it right now, don't be shocked if it's Huawei, because they're making a lot of money right now, regardless of any U.S. Attempts to limit their income.
And maybe that's really why Google's mad at them.
I think that's why a lot of people are mad at them. They're literally growing too quick, and other people are just upset. You know, I don't know. Android. Now, here's the real reason I'm upset. Car went flat, couldn't drive it straight anymore. Went, wife called up wife's job and said, come here, get me, tow me, give me a car. The people there asked me if, you know, like, well, they asked us what was the, like, preference of the car. And I literally had to hold myself back because I came really close to saying, I don't care what it is, just make sure it has Android Auto in it. Only because the navigation and like it, and how it just lets us know instantaneously, seemingly, of any kind of traffic incident in front of us. I want Android Auto. In reality, Android Auto on the in-dash screen experience sucks because you get less features, less functionality, less options, and less applications than if you just turn your phone sideways and put it in a mount. But the wife's really comfortable with that in-dash screen, so I didn't ask for it. I made a mistake. So now we have a really horrible in-dash thing in our rental car. But Google just announced, and it was retracted a little bit, that there's a new Android Auto interface coming out. I extremely doubt it's really going to expand on the apps much. But in the screenshot, you can see there's actually access to stuff like Google Calendar in the interface, which I will say is more than what I see now. Rarely do you have a product limit features and then be more successful. But Android Auto is definitely a limitation of feature set. And so far, it's at least moderately successful.
I can't remember a time that I've ever looked at my calendar while driving down the road.
Well, I'll say this. You can ask it questions about applications that you cannot access, like, what does my agenda look like? And it will tell you what your calendar looks like. You can't see Google Hangouts in the interface, but you can say, okay, Schmoogle, send a Hangouts message, and it will work. You don't have direct access to messaging, but you can say, okay, Schmoogle, send text message to, and that works as well. Except for the agenda, like how does my day look kind of question, I can't see wanting access to my calendar, but I don't know.
So here's the one feature I want Google Assistant to be able to do. And it should be simple, and I don't know why I can't do it. I should be able to say, hey, Google, navigate to my next appointment. Why can't I do that? Hmm. That's the simplest thing from the guy who has never written code. Sure, that seems super easy to do. But that's it seems to me like a glaring thing. I've got the appointment. It can tell me where my when my next appointment is. It can even tell me where it is if I ask, but it can't navigate to it.
I think you might need a chauffeur, Mark.
No, I don't want them to drive for me. I just want them to tell me where it is. Because I sort of live my life by my calendar. I have my work calendar synced to my phone, and other people who are not me put things on my calendar on a regular basis. And I literally don't know where I'm going from time to time. And I just look at my phone and it tells me where I'm supposed to be next. So I should be able to say, hey, rocket scientist in my pocket, navigate to my next appointment. But instead, I have to open the app, copy paste the location, or actually just tap on it in most cases. Tap the location, that opens the map. So, you know, touching, it's a first world problem.
Have you tried Waze, Mark?
The last time I tried Waze was when it was a video game and you drove around and ate cupcakes. So it's been a while.
Because Waze actually has a planned drive function that integrates with your calendar, and it will automatically say, do you want to navigate to your next appointment? It will know what your next appointment is and ask if you want to navigate to it. So,
see, this is why I'm totally fine with giving the robots all my information. Because exactly. That's the feature, this kind of stuff I want.
Mind you, if you've seen, there's an article came up on Android Pit the other day saying that spam through Gmail is now sending phishing scams to Google Calendar. So, you know how...
Yeah, if you have your Google Calendar set to automatically accept appointments from people not in your contact list, which is apparently the default setting, they're able to send weird links through Gmail that put entries into your Google Calendar that then somehow can be like the beginning of the hook of a phishing attack. And if that's not in Gmail, I don't know what is.
You know, at some point you just have to acknowledge the brilliance of the crook and give him money. Really. I mean, if you get me, all right, you win. You get my money.
There's not much of it to get.
Well, plenty of Florida cities agree with you, Mark.
But I am right now, as we speak, opening the settings for my Google Calendar to see if that's a thing, because that's bad.
Yeah. And I will say, I literally had a meeting this week where there were two Google employees in the meeting. Let's just say I did not use kid gloves with them. Because they're getting paid more than me, they can take it. But I did, and I did drill them. I said, well, first off, stop saying ML. Like anybody in the meeting understands you mean machine learning. Say machine learning, okay? And number two, it's bullcrap. Your genius product can't even tell me when I'm about to drive into rain, can it? And they both just stopped and looked at each other. And then the other one pulled out his laptop and started typing. And I said, yes, that's a feature I want. Write it down.
Did you see the article where Google sent like 100 cars down a road that wasn't a road? They sent them out into a muddy field. What's great about that is the 100th car didn't see the other 99. So that says less about a Google AI fail and much more about a human RI fail.
Well, no, that thing. They actually interviewed people in the line and they said exactly what you would expect them to say. Well, the car in front of me kept going, so I figured, you know, it must be the right way.
This is why I'm not afraid of Skynet.
And if the car in front of you drove off a cliff, would you drive off a cliff too?
Well, if it said it was a good way to get around traffic.
Yeah, I have one more non-app link I just wanted to throw out there. And only because it's been so long, Mark, I might actually end up getting back into this game. And the game is rooting my device. For the longest time, I used an application called Exposed Framework. And what Exposed Framework was, it's basically a class, a framework of applications that really can give you crazy enhancements and functionality on the base operating system of Android. But you absolutely have to have root or else none of it works kind of thing. It requires root. There's a Lifehacker article, how to customize your Android device with Magisk and Exposed Framework. Magisk is basically a way to handle acquiring root. for those who've been getting Root on their device for 10 years, every single device, it seems like there's a new way to get Root because they constantly patch and then they constantly have to find new exploits and then they patch and then they have to find exploits and it just constantly changes names. Well, right now, Magisk, M-A-G-I-S-K, is apparently one of the most popular ways to get Root. And then when you have Root, Exposed Frameworks is one of the, in my humble opinion, best ways to really get functionality out of a rooted device that nobody intended you to actually have.
I've never used it because I just don't care that much about squeezing every drop of performance out of my phone, but I've heard very good things about the Uber Nerd, about it from the Uber Nerdy people I know.
Well, I'll say this. The one feature I loved about Exposed Framework, now apparently there's a Firefox desktop feature, not a plugin, but a feature called Track This, T-R-A-C-K-T-H-I-S. Google search that in quotes, Track This. And it's a feature that it will purposefully flood tracking sites with fake information, okay? Exposed Framework has a built-in thing you can download called X-Privacy, where you can say, every time I load this application, give it a fake contact list, give it fake geo-coordinates, give it fake phone number, give it fake text messages, you can pump it full of completely fake information. And to me, there's no better way to pollute some company's profile of you than with just flooding it with fake data. Because, you know, it's what plants crave.
Does anybody actually root their phone anymore, though?
I haven't for 3 years, I'll say, maybe.
I've only done it once, and that was to get rid of bloatware that was on it. But other than that, I've always...
All of the reasons people used to root their phone now pretty much come baked into the OS.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the only things I know not available on a non-rooted device that you can get from a rooted device is that extra level of tinfoil hattery privacy type settings, which I had to correct the Google guy. Technically speaking, MIT studies show the tinfoil hat actually amplifies the signal. So when you say someone's wearing a tinfoil hat, they're actually buying into the system. They're not trying to protect themselves from it.
Well, it depends on where the signal's coming from. If it's never mind.
And I had to say, I thought you guys had the most PhDs. I thought you would have known this.
So when dealing with a wave, no, wait, I'm not even going to go there again. Never mind.
Yeah, oh my goodness.
Wave or a particle?
Check, please.
Taxi.
So, Dor, one of the articles you have here is something I saw. Philo TV is now on Android. Mm-hmm. It's also just this week, I think, came to the Roku. So this company has just sort of suddenly appeared on the two interfaces that I most commonly use, and yet I know nothing about it. Can you tell me anything
and
about
honestly, Philo? And honestly, I don't either, but I've had at least two or three people shoot me links telling me how good it is. One of them, I believe, is Red Dwarf, really long time Podnuts guy. I believe he was the first person to shoot me this, and basically it is a alternate TV source where they do have apparently free content on it, if I'm not mistaken, but they also have a very, 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 very low-priced premium tier. I want to say it's like literally less than $3 a month for their premium tier, where you get all kinds of, in air quotes, TV.
And just a trivia thing here. I don't know that that's the reason the service is called that, but Philo Farnsworth was one of the early inventors of the television, specifically the cathode ray tube, so Philo TV.
That makes sense.
Is this available outside the U.S., or is it only a U.S. thing?
I believe that's the real hook of this, is that this is not a U.S. started service. While you can get it in the U.S., I believe it was actually started outside the U.S.
Because I have a Roku, but I can't watch anything on it because it's all geo-blocked, all the content. So it's good for casting a screen or something, but other than that, it's...
Oh, and you have bandwidth caps?
No, it's just that unless you use a VPN, you can't access this foreign content. They lock that down.
Is this where you do the VPN commercial, Dor, or for the underwear? Or
well, I was going to say a totally non-sponsored segment is private internet access is by far the most trusted, the most tested in court of law VPN service that you've never heard an advertisement for. That is maybe the most fairly priced internet thing you can get on the market. I do believe they have a free 7-day trial you can use. If you do sign up to it, you get to hook up, I want to say, 5 devices up to it at one point in time with the same account, and it's unlimited bandwidth. Everyone I know outside the U.S. who use it and pay for it say they almost can't tell the difference in speed, which I find hard to believe, but I got to go with
and
them.
Repeat the name of the service again?
Private Internet Access.
Yeah, I use it too.
Not the Internet Research.
I use PAA as well, though. The only problem I have with, I've tried a couple of VPNs, and with all of them, whenever I try and load them directly on the router, so that any device that's using that router is automatically covered by the VPN, I lose 80% of my download speed straight away. And now I don't know whether that's because of the router. It's certainly probably not because of the VPN, because I've tried 3 or 4 different ones. But do you know why that happens?
Well, most routers are extremely underpowered. I will say that.
I've got an Asus RT6060 or something like that. It's a fairly new one.
It's probably running a really slow chip with very constrained RAM. Build yourself a Boris box out of just an old PC laying around, and that's when you'll see the real performance.
Boris box. I have to look that up. It sounds cool.
and you'll find elementop.com. Basically, any computer you've touched in the last 20 years is more powerful than any router you can buy that's not $300-$400. They typically have like MIPS level chips in them, which are really low spec, low powered, low functionality. And like the highest of the high end routers might have like 32 megs of RAM on it. They're like really, really low spec devices. So to actually run processes on them, you're going to experience a degradation in performance always.
And
that would be a good use case for the Raspberry Pi 4 or a ROC Pro 64 another.
Have you experienced that loss, that download speed loss, if you've tried it directly on the router? Have you actually tried it?
I don't put it on the router. What I have is I have a mini computer here where I basically have 2 NICs on it, and I basically, whenever I want to do VPN, I basically pipe through that access gateway. And I find it, okay, my upload speed is 120, my download speed is 100. That confuses people, but that's my speeds. When I do the same speed test through that connection, I get around 80 to 100 for each.
Wow. I have 4 uploads.
Not exactly the same.
I get 4 up. That's it.
Is this not a good time to mention my gigabit?
Yeah, no.
Fiber? No? Okay. That I only pay $80.
Sick of hearing about your gigabit.
Sometimes it's good to be an American.
Yeah. I noticed your red shirt as well.
Yeah, that made me laugh that your wife called that a Trump tie. Presidents have been wearing red ties since there have been color televisions.
And that's why I said to her, I said, you do understand red existed before he was president, right? Yeah, I know. But at least my boss, when I said it to him, he said, you're wearing red because of Rodney Dangerfield, right? Exactly.
No respect.
Yeah. You could also, Ivor, you could also try some open source firmware, WRT.
Oh, yes, I heard about
something
that.
Something like that. Yeah. And then you could set that up on some old hardware or a single board computer and create your own router, possibly.
Yeah, because I have lots of different devices. I've got about 12 different devices that all connect to the internet. And you know, you want to make sure that they're all covered by the VPN. You've only got 6 devices that you can directly apply it to. You don't want to have to go around and set each one up individually. It's just good to have it directly on the router.
And I, being in Canada, I also feel your pain as far as geo restrictions. Mm. Amazon sucks as well. So,
Amazon.ca, that's just a page for all the things you can't have, right? It's like, this is the stuff you could have if you didn't
live in America.
Right. Yeah, I actually showed Door the other day. It's Amazon. So it's, you know, you pay the Prime and it's 2-day shipping and go to order something. And now some of the product says, oh, you know, free shipping with Prime, 6-day shipping. What am I doing here? I might just drive to Vancouver and pick it up.
I think I've mentioned it on this show before, but one of the most prescient interviews I ever saw was with Jeff Bezos. I forget who was interviewing him, But he said Amazon's competition is not Walmart. It's not it's not eBay. It's not anything else. Amazon's competition is your to-do list. We want to make it so easy to buy that it's easier to buy than to put it on the list of things you want to buy.
I've bought stuff on Amazon. Pretty darn close to that. It's a lot easier to get it from directly from America than it is to go through a retailer based in our country, based in New Zealand. And I've paid more for it just simply because it's more convenient. You know, the equivalent products aren't available for as good a price. So it's truly an international phenomenon.
One man with a dream. So, Dort, this show is called Android App Addicts, and we're like 40 minutes in. Maybe we should bring one app?
Well, okay. Well, the first app I'm going to bring because I did try it for 7 days. And I will say we had the other application that was a dialer that supposedly would help me with spam calls. Can't remember what it was called. It sucked. It was horrible. It blocked, from what I could tell, absolutely nothing.
Truecaller?
So I said...
Truecaller? Was that Truecaller? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it was horrible. It stopped nothing. In fact, I swear I got more spam calls when I installed it. I trust Jolly Roger Telco, and I'll try to put a link as soon as I'm done talking. Jolly Roger Telco, they also have a TED Talk where the executive from Jolly Roger Telco and the inventor of it is a former high-end telecom engineer who understands how spam callers and how scam callers are established, how they make money, how they work, why they work, what are the shortcomings to them, and why the federal government's never going to be able to stop them. Okay. Him I trust. This one, though, has apparently paid a lot of people a lot of money because they're appearing in a lot of searches. They're appearing in a lot of articles. They're appearing in a lot of shows. They're all over the place. So they definitely got some money to spread for marketing. Even though it's been out for over 6 months, it's called Robo Killer, Stop Spam and Robocalls by Teltech Systems, Inc. Let me fix the camera. By Teltech Systems, Inc.'s communication apps, 18,000 reviews, E for everyone, offers in-app purchases, a.k.a. requires in-app purchases, completely free to download, no in-app ads, current version 3.6, updated June the 19th, 2019, 24 megs in size, 1 million plus installs, of which probably 900 plus thousand uninstalled. Current version 2.3.0, you need 5.0 Android and up. Permissions are going to be deep because they're going to need access to literally everything on your phone. That's how this works. In-app purchases, 99 cents. To $29 per item. Basically, they want you to pay $3 per month with a free 7-day trial period. $3 per month, and it basically does the exact same thing that Jolly Roger does for $1 a month. And with their application, it works on any phone. House phones, mobile phones, any phones, not just a mobile phone, nor do you have to have an app installed, nor do they need access to all your personal private information. Jolly Roger Telco is 10 times more trustworthy than this company is what I'm trying to say. But if you require to have complete management of your spam blocking on your device, and you're okay with spending $3 a month, aka $30 with 2 months free a year kind of thing, then go ahead and download RoboKiller, Stop Spam and Robocalls. And it tries to do the same thing that Jolly Roger Telco does with, which is it tries to keep the telemarketers busy with robots communicating with it, just saying stupid things, just trying to keep them on the phone as long as possible.
Yeah. So there's a whole YouTube thing on it about this guy who invented an AI system that basically just keeps the spam caller busy while you do something else. It's fantastic. I laugh so much when I read it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's great on Jolly Roger Telco, it literally says stuff like, I'm sorry, but you sounded just like my college roommate. I didn't listen to a word you said because you sounded so much like him. Can you say that over again? And it just says stuff like that to try to encourage the telemarketer to talk as long as possible, because the more they're talking to the computer, the less they're ripping people off and scamming people.
This is the only way to fight back against these people. You've got to make their business not profitable. The same is true for spammers, for anybody like that. The only way to make them stop is to make it not profitable for them. And if they can waste minutes per call, hours per day, hundreds of hours per week doing this, their profit margins go down. And eventually, this sort of thing will go away. I don't think we'll ever honestly get that critical mass. It is so cheap to make phone calls these days. I don't think it's ever going to go away completely. But this could hurt it in the same way that the simple Bayesian spam filter pretty much solved the spam problem. Not that there's any less spam. We just don't see it. This may be the case here. If we can get hundreds of millions of people using this service, for $1 a month, $12 a year to, for the greater good, honestly, even if you don't get to enjoy it. But the nice thing is they send you the recordings and it can be really funny. So
is this a problem in Vancouver, Josh?
I'm bullish on it.
Do you get these spam calls as well?
Well, I was actually just going to bring that up. I have a Google Pixel XL, not a 3, not a 2, but an original Google Pixel XL.
Old school.
And it actually... Old school.
That's the OG model.
The OG, yes.
I am the OG. That's right. But I don't really get spam calls. It'll pop up that says, we think this is spam. Don't answer it. And I was just wondering if the phones you guys are rocking, if you get that as well, or is that only a Google device filter?
Any Google dialer will have some level of that built in, but it's not nearly as aggressive. And honestly, I don't know if I'm just lucky or stupid or what, but I get no crank calls, spam calls. In fact, I get almost no calls at all on my phone, and that's how I like it. But then I also don't answer calls. If I don't know you or if I'm not expecting your call, I don't answer. So I guess maybe after years of doing that, decades of doing that, I've been taken off all the lists.
No. In fact, you'll be put on more lists if that happens. So that's why, because here's the thing. When a call doesn't go through, they know what that's like. If a call goes through and rings, they know it's an active number. So that is sometimes the most desirable, sellable, most valuable phone number versus someone who answers a call.
Yeah, but if they answer a call, then and that's they've got an active number on the other end, don't they? If it's answered.
Well, no. The unknowing is more valuable to the scammer. If they know someone's going to answer, then they haven't been already scammed. Well, then they must know what they're doing. But if they don't answer, maybe when they do answer, it's going to be worth money. And that's what the telco guy goes over. The manipulation that goes on these back channels is some of the most dirty, crooked stuff ever. And now here's the thing. If you don't get any spam calls, I just say don't change anything. Because for years, I never got a spam call. I believe once my oldest son got a phone and my number was in his phone is when I started getting spam phone calls. So that's what I believe.
My wife gets them all day, every day. I get none. And I don't, I can't say what that is, but I don't give anybody my phone number ever. I mean, I've said it before. I believe that you calling me is the rudest thing you can possibly do. Because what you're saying is whatever you're doing right now, it's not as important as me. Stop it and talk to me. So I'm just not a phone guy, not a phone call guy.
Yeah, I'm not really either, Mark, and I have no friends, so basically. I just don't get calls at all.
Well, yeah, and I'll say on my dialer, I open up my dialer, and I have three tabs on the top. I have dialer, contacts, and favorites. And on my favorites, it's literally two entries. One is my wife's mobile phone, and one is this house. Because the kids are out of school now, I call them up at least once a day asking, what are you doing? Did you take a shower? Did you eat something? Can you clean up? Can you vacuum? Can you take out the trash? So when we get home, it appears like they actually did stuff on their own. And then my wife calls me, so that's the two phone numbers that are in my popular...
Yeah, mine is my wife's and my oldest daughter.
That's yeah, it. I know how you feel, Josh. I call. All my friends disappeared when I said, I do.
Hey, and Dor, do you outsource that service? You give me a call once a day and make sure that I shower and eat
yeah.
all those things.
I mean, you usually do that during the show. So, when are you going to get your bath?
I know. Today? It's
touché.
True, too. It's the first time I've watched this show with clothes on.
I actually do have at least one more app is what I'm going to say. And this one is really for a different show, but because it's an Android app, I got to share it here as well. And it's called Scripted, but it's spelled incorrectly because, this is 2019. You can't spell anything correctly. SCRYPTED, Home Automation by Clockwork Mod. Ding a ding ding. That bell should have just rang right there. Clockwork Mod. 11 reviews. E for everyone. Completely free to download. No in-app purchases. No in-app ads. Clockwork Mod is one of the oldest, most trusted, smartest developers in the history of Android, is what I'm going to say. Clockwork Mod was one of the first guys to create routines to root routines to do backups, routines to do all kinds of really high-end things on your device. Clockwork Mod definitely knows what he's doing. 3.8 average reviews. Updated June 21st, 2019, 85 megs in size, 1,000 plus installs. Current version, in typical fashion, makes no sense. Version 423A846, because why not? Permissions, Wi-Fi, and network, because that's really all it needs. This is a tool to help you literally with automating IoT stuff on your home network, is the way that I'll put it. Koosh is the name of the developer. I can't pronounce his real name, but Koosh is what everyone calls him, Clockwork Mod. If you are at all interested in home automation and you have any kind of infrastructure in your house, whether it's a garage door you can manipulate, a home alarm you can manipulate, lights you can turn on, things you can dim, coffee makers you can connect to, I cannot implore you more but to download scripted home automation and play with it. I guarantee you one thing, this app is only going to get better as time goes on.
You can get coffee makers that connect to the internet now?
You can, and then if you're in JPL, it might turn into an advanced persistent threat where Russians are sucking data off your network.
This is why I love the internet. These helpful reviews that people leave for these apps. Can't connect to Google Home. Tried 4 times. Plugins don't work. So, you know, that's a thing. Cannot add service Google Home app. Tried multiple times. Google Home warns that connection isn't secure, so it's a no-go. It's a really nice idea, but there are many issues. Hard to add the SmartThings plugin, gives an error about token, no user-friendly message. And my personal favorite one, great app, but the height of the status bar is wrong. Thank you, Internet.
And those status bars.
Well, and I can guarantee you, if anyone's going to draw... trolls out of the woodwork, it's Koosh, because people have very high expectations of him.
You guys mind if I bring an app?
Go for it.
Who do you think you are? I know. First day on the show.
Oh, I can't even.
I've been on this show 3 years and I brought like 2 apps.
I know this. I'll post it in our chat. It's called Survival Manual. I have it installed, so I'm not sure if it costs anything. I think it's free. And it's basically just an offline survival manual. So it has different content. Give you a door description first here. Got 4.7 reviews, 5.5 megs, last updated December 3rd, 2018. Current version is 4.2.2. Requires Android 4.0 and up, 1 million plus installs. And so, yeah, it's basically just like having a survival book on your computer. Built by Liji, 1,372 reviews. So it has some psychology for if you're in an emergency situation, how to make survival kits, basic medicine, how to create shelters, how to find water, build fires, food procurement. Survival, plants, poisonous plants, dangerous animals, and the list keeps going on.
So Josh is obviously a prepper.
Tell you how to charge.
Sorry, Mike.
Does it tell you how to charge your battery? Because that's the first thing you'll need to know if you're going to use a survival manual on your phone.
See, that's why you need to connect it to a printer and print it off before the power's out.
Are you a prepper, Josh?
No, I don't think so. But
prepping to be a prepper.
Yeah, I just prepped for this show by looking at my apps, and that's the one I found.
Have you actually used it?
But it does look. No, I totally forgot I had it.
So it's super useful.
It's good to have it and not need it.
But that's right. There's tons of information.
Well, here's one thing I do like about it. If you go to the notes of it and expand it towards the very bottom, it has a link to a GitHub link, which I don't like because GitHub is now owned by Microsoft, which means it's only going to be exploited here really soon and install vicious software. But on GitHub, he's hosting basically a wiki that has basically the exact same information. So if you like traversing this information in desktop form, you can, but also because it's on GitHub, it's intended for contributions. So if you know, for instance, there's a better way to catch a fish or start a fire or make a fort that retains heat better, you can contribute your own information to such a thing.
So let me take this opportunity to give a plug for a book I read recently called The Knowledge, How to Rebuild Civilization in the Aftermath of a Cataclysm by Lewis Dartnell, D-A-R-T-N-E-L-L. And it's a really clever book. It's available on Audible, but also paperback, you know, all over the place. But it's an interesting book that starts from the premise of, you know, zombie apocalypse, nuclear, whatever. You got to start over again. You're going to need to know a few things. Basic chemistry, like how to make soap out of potash and lye, you know, and just starts from there, from the very basic knocking flint stones together to make knives, and takes you all the way up into the pre-industrial age. It's an interesting book. If you're into that kind of thing, I recommend it. The Knowledge, How to Rebuild a Civilization in the Aftermath of a Cataclysm.
It's really good.
I don't think it's an Android app, but it is on Kindle. And it's clever and it's well written. You know, it's a little, this kind of topic can be a little dry, but he makes it interesting enough. If you're any way like me, a how does it work geek, you'll enjoy this book. And if you don't already happen to have an Audible subscription, elementopia.com/audible. Thank you very much.
There you go. Yeah, and I'll say there's plenty of stuff these days we take for granted that we as a people literally have no idea how. We just take for granted, oh, you just put this in and there you go, that works. Yeah, if the world collapses tomorrow, I'm going to have a hard time just catching a mouse or the lizard that lives underneath my front step. I'll have a hard time just catching that.
Yeah, in the event of a zombie apocalypse, I'm just going to lay down and say, you guys run for it. It'll take them a while to get through me because I have no useful skills in that environment at all.
I'm mean with a spreadsheet.
Well, I'll say I have one useful skill, going to sleep and snoring and drawing all the zombies towards me.
I mean, I can lift heavy stuff, but that's it. That's all I got. And I can't lift as heavy as I used to be able to because I'm getting old. So, yep.
Well, then if there's a zombie apocalypse, I'm going to go hang out with you.
Yeah. And, you know, I would just say, guys, make a run for it. You got at least 2 minutes. Go. Yeah, that's about all I'd be good for.
I have an app.
Well, I know this app.
All right, Josh. I have an app. If you want to hear it, but otherwise, carry on. Say what you're saying.
No. Let's hear it.
First of all, Josh, great app. Loved it.
Thanks.
So we're all fathers, and we've all got kids. And one of the things that fathers do when they're interacting with their children is tell dad jokes. So the app I'm going to bring here is an app called Dad Jokes. Now, I don't normally like joke apps because they're spammy as hell, but this one is specifically just dad jokes. And all my friends and my family members curse me daily when I go through this app and I copy some choice jokes and I send them off to my friends. It is 12 plus. There is some sexual innuendo, but I can't say I've come across that. But it's got it's a free app, but it does come with ads. Now the main crime of this ad supported app is that it will set you up with the joke, and then you'll have to watch an ad before it'll give you the punchline.
I love it.
So you're always sort of watching these ads to try and get through to the punchline, and you say, oh, I'm giving up after this, and you always carry on to the next round of ads. But I think there is an option to pay money and not deal with the ads. It's by a developer called Max Applications. It's rating 4.6. It's got 100,000 plus installs. It's rated for 12 plus enough. It's Android 5.0, last updated on June 9th. Its permissions aren't too bad. It just it likes to access photos for some reason. I don't know why it would need that. But yeah, a bit sketchy, but I've got a lot of entertainment out of that. And my friends around the country have cursed me for sending them really bad jokes.
In the office today, one of my coworkers said, "I'm hungry." And I said, "Hi, hungry, I'm dead." Exactly. I had to do it.
It's compulsory. You
left me no choice.
I'm just wondering if it has access to your camera so that when you read the joke, it can tell if you're laughing or not. Maybe it ranks the jokes that way.
Yeah, or face palming.
There's a lot of face palming going on.
maybe that could be a cool sort of gesture interface. That's how you get the next joke. You face palm, and then it recognizes that you're ready for the next joke. $1 million idea there, people. All right, well, we now have a total of 4 apps from 3 different people out of the 4 on the show. Guess who didn't? And we've talked about all kinds of stuff. So I think it's time to wrap this thing up. Do we have any final words of wisdom, Dor? What would you like to bless our audience with before we say goodnight?
I'm just going to spam you with just one more app. And it's a game that I just want to bring because it's different. And I try to do this once in a while. It's called Bring You Home by A Like Studio Puzzle, E for Everyone, 9 reviews, $3.49 to buy, 5.0 reviews, only 9 reviews, so that's all the family and friends he has. Updated June 20th, 41 megs in size, 100 plus installs, current version 1.0.13, 4.0 Android and up, content rating E for Everyone, permissions, normal, photo storage, Wi-Fi, other. But if you watch the video to this game, here's why I find it interesting. It's a puzzle platformer in the sense, quite beautiful looking. For the first half of the video, you don't really understand what's going on, how it's a puzzle platformer. It seems like a platformer. Well, at like 35 seconds, it finally shows you that it's basically like a slot machine type interface where the screen is sliced up into 4 different sections, of which 3 of the slices you can rotate and change to different scenarios, and you have to figure out which is the right pattern of scenarios to have your character successfully make it to the other side of the screen. To me, this game needs just enough thinking to keep you interested and engaged without being so complicated and convoluted and difficult that you get upset with it. If $3.49 is too much to spend, Google Opinion Rewards or mark it as a wish list item, and then when it comes on sale, buy it.
You said $3.49, Dor?
$3.49 in American yeah. Money.
No, this is interesting. So I've got $4.49. What do you have, Ivor?
Sorry, I haven't opened it. Hang on. Oh. I haven't got the link.
Awkward.
Sorry. It'll be about 500 New Zealand dollars or something like that.
Well, it's the shipping charge.
Yeah, that's just the shipping charge. $5.99 New Zealand.
Wow.
So that must mean that your money's better.
Is that commensurate with the exchange rate, or does that have to do with foreign taxes? What do you think that is?
I don't think we have the Google tax yet. No, I think it's more than just the exchange rate. Yeah, and a dollar's worth less.
Or it could be that the developer, you know, pays more taxes from foreign. I don't know. I'm trying to make something up here. I got nothing. So, you know, America for the win.
Yay.
Cost less here. It's still too much for me. When it's 99 cents, we'll talk. It does look interesting, though. All right. So I tried to get you to wrap up the show, and you brought another app. So if I ask you for an app, will you wrap up the show?
I'm not going to bring any more. Okay. I'll keep the rest in the queue.
All right. So this is the first time I've ever said this. Ivor, what are your final words of wisdom for tonight?
Well, I just want to thank Dor for the opportunity to come on and talk to you guys. It's been a lot of fun. I'd also like to take a minute to remember Eric and his contribution to the show, and his spirit, I think, lives on in the show. And I'm really happy about that, too. So thanks, Dor, and thanks, Mark.
All right. Thanks for bringing us down. Josh, you?
Well, I was going to say the same thing, probably less eloquent. Slightly different accent, but I had a lot of fun, but I would much rather be sitting in a tub watching the three of you guys with Eric. Wherever Eric is, probably eating dollar tacos, he still owes me a round of disc golf, so Eric, I'm going to hold you to it, man.
All right. It was the street tacos, man. Trust me.
Oh, I didn't get sick. You guys were the only ones that got sick.
Dude, nah, man. The whole hotel room was not good for like the next 2 hours.
They were excellent tacos.
They tasted great.
They always do.
Right. The first time.
You get to smell them the second time.
Oh, man.
All right, well, this is the part of the show where I will tell you, if you would like to support those that support you, you can do that over at patreon.com/androidappaddicts. Do like Theo did and stand up and be counted in the form of good old-fashioned American dollars or Canadian dollars or New Zealand rupees. I don't even know what you guys use over there.
No, we use the dollars, too. We've got the dollars. Yeah.
Oh, okay. You can do that. Okay. Yeah. You can pledge wool. I think that works at Patreon. Yeah. You know, two goats and a sheep, per episode, whatever, patreon.com/androidappaddicts. We really appreciate if you do that. As always, I thank you for allowing me to be a part of the show. It has been a true pleasure. Every time I do it, you know, tonight, maybe a little less so. Sorry. I was telling the guys before the show started, they were a little nervous about it. And I said, don't worry about it. I've been doing this almost 10 years. And I can assure you, whatever goes wrong, whatever stupid thing you say, whatever dumb thing happens, I'll get blamed for it. So it won't matter because it's always my fault. So it is my honor to take the blame for everything that happens on this show. I'm happy to do it. Thank you guys for being with us. You, the listener, literally, you're the reason we do this. Otherwise, it would be a little silly to do all this technology and all this stuff just for us. But we would appreciate it if you wave some money at us. So I got nothing else. Good night, everybody. That's it for this episode of the Android App Addicts Podcast.
My name is Jeff Halish. I'm the host of Podnuts Daily, where we interview real people who are working in the computer repair field. I would like to invite you to check out the shows to learn what other computer repair techs are doing. If you would like to be a guest on the show, then contact me at guest@podnuts.com. Podnuts Daily, where it's fun to talk tech.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.